I'm Jeff Booth. This is Sex Science Sunday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, it's not actually Sunday. Things have just been so crazy, thought we would wait a little while before finishing this, because who knows what could happen. So today I want to talk about just how much things have collapsed in terms of science and our respect for science and our listening to science and doing what science tells us to do. Now, for some people who are extremely religious, that sounds like science is a religion. No, we listen to it because it is a system by which we can get to the best and closest form of the truth. It's never perfect, but it can be updated and changed when we find something is wrong or doesn't work. And ignoring science kills, which is what it's doing right now. People are dying because here in America, in this administration, we ignore science. And it's killing us in a lot of different ways. Some in the future, and we're starting to see with climate change. And right now, the thing that's on our minds the most is the COVID crisis, with the most inept, anti-science, disastrous, corrupt response to a medical emergency in the history of our nation. I think it's probably the most corrupt, ineffective, disastrous response to any crisis America has ever faced. And most crises under presidential leadership usually have some kind of arc where they get better. This crisis just continues to get worse. We're hitting cooler weather, and cases are starting to spike just as anticipated. Things are getting worse, not better. And the reason, of course, is President Trump's utter corruption, his focus on getting reelected and staying in power, that seems to have fueled most of the irrational issues. But it's also because we have been steadily eliminating, well, the president has been steadily eliminating anyone who might save us. Fauci has been sidelined. Dr. Birx has been talking about quitting. And the top immunologist in the United States, Dr. Rick Bright, has quit. And he's quit because of Trump's response to the COVID virus. So the experts have been pretty much sidelined, and that leaves Scott Atlas. Dr. Scott Atlas. We've talked before in a segment about how profoundly incompetent he is and how he has absolutely no expertise for dealing with this crisis. He got hired because he said the same batshit crazy things that Donald Trump wants people to believe. His title is Special Advisor on Coronavirus to President Trump. Again, he's not an immunologist. He's not an expert in viruses. He's not an expert on anything useful to this job. It's like bringing in a plumber to fix a hydroelectric dam that is beginning to leak. They both involve water and dealing with leaks, but the plumber just doesn't have the experience and the training to contribute anything of use. He's a neuroradiologist, which has absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with infectious diseases. And this is the guy, and right now it seems to be the only guy that the president is listening to, and he is a total crackpot. And then there's the guy who was standing up in front of Walter Reed, giving us the latest updates on what was going on with the president's condition. And I thought at first he was somebody with Walter Reed. But no, he's actually got an official title, Physician to the President. And guess what? He's a total crackpot. Now, it kind of comes across as if he's the guy leading the team, but this guy doesn't have the experience, knowledge, or training, much like Dr. Scott Atlas, to lead any team in medicine. He is not a medical doctor. And he works directly for the president. And I was shocked, too. He's not a medical doctor? What is he? Well, he's an osteopath. He doesn't get to have the initials MD after his name. They use the initials DO. Now, osteopathy is recognized as a legitimate form of medical care. I'm not convinced that it is quite as legitimate. I think it kind of wanders there around chiropractic, where there's a lot of crackpot stuff that kind of gets inserted. They're more philosophically aligned with naturopaths than they are with regular medical doctors. But is osteopathy a legitimate medical science? Not as much as you might think. So I'm getting my information here from Stephen Barrett, who is an MD. his article Dubious Aspects of Osteopathy at Quackwatch, which is a good site worth checking out. It originated in 1874, and at the time medical science wasn't very far along. It was invented by Andrew Taylor Still, who claimed that diseases were caused by mechanical interference with nerve and blood supply, and they're curable by manipulation of deranged, displaced bones, nerves, muscles, removing all obstructions, thereby setting the machinery of life moving. We now know that Andrew Taylor Still was himself quite a crackpot. He claimed that he caused a bald-headed man to grow hair 3 inches long in 1 week, and could shake a child and stop scarlet fever, croup, diphtheria, and cure whooping cough. Now, osteopaths do get a medical education, although the admission standards are a little different. They're lower at osteopathic schools than at medical schools. And while they can practice general medicine, the main theory is that they can cure stuff by manipulating the musculoskeletal system. Manually manipulating, like chiropractic, is very, very hands-on. But does it actually work? So the whole core of it is basically what's known as OMT, for osteopathic manipulative treatment. And you might be a little surprised to find out that most osteopaths don't really practice it. They promote it as a cure-all, and anything that is promoted as a cure-all tells you pretty much, watch out. Now, that's not to say that an osteopath can't be a good doctor. They can be. It's sort of an opportunity for lesser students, you know, to get into medicine. So while having a DO is not as good as having an MD after your name, it doesn't necessarily tell you that that person's a good or a bad doctor. It's how much he actually adheres to the belief system of his medical practice. That's what you got to worry about, because there's a lot of crackpottery within osteopathy. I would say that while there are certain things that manipulating the muscles seem to help, many of the claims that osteopaths make are not borne out by science. There's no actual evidence that they work. Now, when you look at Trump's history of having crackpot doctors and the stunningly bad performance of Dr. Sean Connolly in front of a national audience, I think we get our answer. He's probably a crackpot. And we've got the Surgeon General, who we've talked about before, not the best and the brightest, and he was just caught violating coronavirus restrictions in Hawaii, where they have pretty severe penalties for doing that. Good on Hawaii. Now, the president is out of the hospital, and he does seem to be unraveling pretty fast. One of the drugs that he's taking is known to make people who are crazy even crazier. Hard to believe that that could happen with Trump, but I think that's what we're seeing with some of the things he's been saying the past few days. A prominent psychiatrist from Yale says that he meets all the criteria for someone who should be forcibly locked up in a psychiatric facility. That's not what you want to hear from actual medical experts about the President of the United States. On Friday, there was new analysis that throughout the failed response to the COVID-19 pandemic and its economic fallout, the president and his administration has, quote, engaged in a persistent pattern of political interference, repeatedly overruling and sidelining top scientists and undermining America's health to advance the president's partisan agenda. Comes from the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis. Now, they're continuing to do this kind of stuff right before our eyes. They seem to be interfering with any kind of contact tracing from their super spreader events. But one of the big stories to come out recently was the fact that the head of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, has been completely corrupt. Through him, they blocked the CDC order to keep cruise ships docked. And in a story broken by Rachel Maddow that they've been working on for a long time, they revealed that Redfield interfered with the recommendations that were made by an elite team that had gone into a meatpacking plant that was just under siege from coronavirus. And meatpacking plants have been horrendous epicenters of outbreaks. And Redfield went in and he rewrote their recommendations to soften them. Some of the other things that House report found was that the administration pressured health experts to adopt the administration's talking points, criticized, sidelined, and fired experts who insisted on sharing accurate scientific information with the public, altered, delayed, and suppressed guidance and scientific reports on testing, protecting children, reopening schools, voting safely, and other topics, authorized questionable virus treatments over the objections of scientists, resisted efforts to ensure the safe development of a vaccine, and diverted $265 million from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for an ad campaign. This isn't just anti-science, this is torching science.